Welcome to Talks at Advent, homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia. Today's speaker is Stephen Brannan.
Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice with her in joy, all ye who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink with delight from her glorious bosom. For thus says the Lord, I will extend prosperity to her like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, God is one. Amen. This Sunday is a special Sunday during Lent. It's known by several names. Historically, the Sunday of the Five Loaves, coming, of course, from the Gospel passage that we just heard. Rose Sunday, from the colors of the clerical and chalice vestments. But why the change in color in the first place? Another name for this Sunday gives us a clue. Laetare Sunday. Laetare meaning rejoice. The introit, or the entrance chant for this Sunday, begins in Latin. Laetare Jerusalem et conventum facite omnes qui diligites eam. Rejoice, O Jerusalem, and come together all you that love her. This chant is taken from Isaiah 66, which I just read a moment ago. The call to rejoice here in the middle of the season of repentance is meant to be an encouragement to us, a comforting reminder of the tenderness, the nurturing, even the motherliness of God. As an outward symbol of this, the liturgical vestments here in the West lighten today from a somber violet to a soft, even maternal rose. And that's the real theme of today, mothering. This is also called Mothering Sunday. What is mothering? That's a huge question. Being a mom is certainly not the same thing as being a dad. And the church recognizes the unique, distinct ways that mothers and fathers relate to their children and to each other and provide complementary examples and roles. These are just some of the reasons why the church rejects the concept of same-sex marriage, because that natural complementarity is missing. There are, of course, other reasons it rejects it, but that's among them. But one very obvious difference between mothering and fathering is that unique way that mothers connect with their children by feeding them with their very bodies. In the womb, the child gains its very life, all of its substance from its mother. And even after birth, for a period, the child continues to be fed from the mother's body through nursing. This feeding, this nursing, is the safest, most secure place that the child knows. When it experiences hunger, when it experiences distress, or even when it just feels its first pangs of longing or love, being at the mother's bosom fulfills its needs. So from the mother comes sustenance, comfort, and fulfillment for the child. Now each of these are also features of our relationship with God and His church, so let's look at them in turn. As for sustenance, what meaning does sustenance have unless there is hunger? Or at least a need for food, the need for sustenance, energy. The thing exists, so the need exists. Or maybe it's the other way around. The need is there, so we know that a solution to that need must also be there. If there is such a thing as hunger, there must be such a thing as food. Now, in the gospel today, there is a multitude, thousands, 5,000 people, or at least 5,000 men, maybe more with women and children, who had followed Jesus up into a mountainous area, a wilderness. They had walked a long way, exerted themselves, and were in need of sustenance. And Jesus provides for that need, not simply with food from nature or for a marketplace, but out of His own abundance. Like a mother giving of herself to feed her children, Jesus here provides food for people out of His own self-offered power. And don't be surprised at Jesus exemplifying this motherly trait, as in God is found the fullness of all that is fatherly and motherly. If these things weren't in God, then we couldn't possess them either. All things come from God. See, out of himself, God made the concepts of fathers and mothers. God, out of himself, fed the Hebrews in the Sinai desert with manna, and Jesus here distributed miraculous bread to the people in this story. And recall how he says as he approaches Jerusalem before his crucifixion, "O Jerusalem, how I have longed to gather your children together as hens gather their chicks under their wings, but you were not willing." So Jesus provides sustenance. But not only do we find sustenance in God, we also find comfort too. Comfort, reassurance, safety. These also only have their meaning if they have opposites or corollaries. So for comfort, there's pain. For reassurance, there's distress. For safety, danger. Just like hunger is something we experience in the desert lands of Lent, so we may also meet these other features. We may experience the painful realization of our own sin and guiltiness. The solution to that is the comfort of forgiveness and absolution. We may experience the distress of doubt or frustration or a sense of stagnation. There's reassurance to be found in Christ's own example and in the examples of his saints. We may even find ourselves in danger of increased temptations to lust or despondency or pride. Well, there is safety for that through prayer and scripture reading, and especially here in the sanctuary of the services of the church, Sunday mornings, Stations of the Cross on Fridays, Evensong on Saturdays. Come avail yourself of them. Come be comforted. Take shelter under Christ's wing. But it's not only hunger and anxiety that drives a baby to its mother. It's also a desire for connection, for belonging, for love. And so too do we, in addition to needing God for our sustenance and safety, need him for our deepest longing, love. We were all created with hidden depths in our hearts. This depth could never be filled by food, comfort, rest, or even mere happiness, as important as all those things are. It can't even be filled by the best relationships this life could offer, be they through friends, family, spouses. This depth, too deep to measure, maybe infinite, can only be filled by the one who made it, who hid it inside us. So these things, sustenance, comfort, and true fulfillment, all ultimately come from God alone. But he has ordained that we experience them primarily together with all of our siblings, all the little chicks here among the community of the church. And this is why we rightly call the church our mother, because within the church we find the shelter of God's wing. Now, of course, God can nourish us spiritually in prayer and the scriptures anywhere and any time, but he feeds us with the proclamation of the scriptures, with the expounding of the scriptures here in church. He feeds us sacramentally in his very true body and blood, his self-donation here in the church. And of course, God can comfort us through his presence whenever and wherever, but he's already offered us the special and unique comforts of the communion, the koinonia of the faithful here, our brothers and sisters. The comforts of the sacraments of anointing and confession and reconciliation. The safety of hallowed ground and the effectual patina of incense smoke and holy water droplets forming an exorcising barrier against the forces of darkness. And we can commune with God in our hearts wherever we are, of course, but only in the liturgy, the work of the assembled people of God, do we approach God in his throne room. Does the Holy Spirit descend at our prayer? And do we meet Christ in the Eucharist? That's how the church uniquely is a mother to us, divinely feeding, comforting, and fulfilling us. We also have, as an example of motherly goodness, the Theotokos, the Mother of God, who nourished God himself in her womb and at her breast, who comforted him with tenderness, and who communed with him through the bond they shared together. Yesterday was the Feast of the Annunciation, where as we celebrated not only the mystery of the Incarnation as God entered creation as a newly conceived baby in the womb of Mary, but also the assent that Mary gave at the announcement of the message of Gabriel. Mary's assent, her answer, "Behold, the handmaid, the servant of the Lord," would bear the most important fruit that the world has ever known. In the Garden of Eden, a woman said no to God's word and stole fruit off a tree. At the Annunciation, a woman said yes to God's word and bore the fruit which would climb onto a tree, reversing our ancestral curse and finally giving us life. Now we, brothers and sisters of Christ, and thus, in a sense, ourselves children of Mary, pray that we may follow her example, even bearing Christ in our hearts as she bore him in her womb. Will we assent to that? Will we feed the Christ life inside us with our own selves, offering our own bodies as living sacrifices to feed it? Will we seek to nurture and protect that life inside us when it's beleaguered and in danger? Will we open up to Christ within us our most intimate selves and so connect and commune with him as Mary did, treasuring those moments in our hearts? If we do, if we emulate the Mother of God, we also will bear good fruit. We will learn from her as she learned from her Creator how to be holy. So here today in church, the New Jerusalem, we give thanks to God for his goodness, and we give thanks for this refreshment, for this Laetare Sunday. Rejoice with Jerusalem, and be glad for her, all you who love her. And you shall nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Talks at Advent. Homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia.